Amazing love, right? Buenos días. I believe that Spanish is the language we'll be speaking in heaven. So I'm so glad that we're all getting the hang of it. We are the Jarillos, for those who don't know us. This is my beautiful wife, Katie. We have Fiona, Nathan, and Isaiah. We serve together as a family in central Mexico, 2.5 hours from Mexico City, northeast. And there are two things that we teach our children that the Bible teaches us, that they're the most important things in life. And these things are...
Love God and love people.
Love God and love people.
Love God and love people.
Love God and love people. So we're going to have the children to go down so we don't make them suffer.
All right. Well, good morning in English. And it's so nice to see so many familiar faces, but I know there's a lot of faces as well that I don't know. So, but it's good to be here with you guys. I'm going to start off with a little story. In rural central Mexico, a baby is born, the sixth child in the family, and another mouth to feed. The doctor asked the older, tired mother, who has come to the clinic completely alone, if he can take the baby and raise it as his own. The mother refuses and spends the night in fear that her baby will go missing while at the clinic. As her boy grows, she keeps him close, carrying him on her back to the river to wash the family's clothing. At age 6, his job is to watch the family's herd of sheep. He walks across mountains 45 minutes each way to go to school. He sells vegetables off the back of his horse to help the family make a living. The boy hears about Jesus, and based on what he's told, he mistakenly believes that if we pray over and over and we're just continually good and do a really good job, that we can go to heaven when we die. The boy prays nearly every day that Jesus will take him to heaven when he dies. The boy lives in fear that he hasn't been good enough or that he'll die before he has the chance to pray that prayer again.
That boy is me. And that is my story. Good morning again, Grace Bible Church. As we mentioned, we serve together in Mexico. And we decided to serve there because the need is great. I know we have our challenges here in the U.S., but we'll share with you guys why. Thank you so much for having us over and letting us to share with you our hearts, what God is doing through our ministry, to our lives, and with our lives. If you see in the map, we are in the middle of nowhere now, in the middle of the country, 2.5 hours from the airport of Mexico City, the most beautiful place on earth, as I believe. Like my wife was sharing in my story, my parents were the first Christians in town. That happened over 40 years ago. And I want to bring this up, that U.S. has been responsible to share the gospel in the most of the countries in the world. As we all know, I am a result of one of the ministries that at one point some share with my parents, and I grew up on that environment. But John 1:14 says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John describes it that way because the first church they saw the glory and the grace in Jesus. And like in the first church, also, after we saw that glory, we stopped sharing about the grace in the meaning of Jesus coming, in the gift of God that is sufficient for forgive all our sins. So in Ephesians 2:8, Paul will describe that by grace we have been saved. And my parents didn't fully understand. And I didn't fully understand either when I was little. I grew up in this mixed up between fear and joy. And I couldn't enjoy ever that grace of God and His love and His forgiveness, because they didn't understand that that grace is way beyond our understanding. His expression of love and His grace, we don't understand. Later on, Paul ministries will focus on explaining again to the churches about His grace. In the book of Galatians, chapter 2 also describes how He comes and has to call out Peter, because they stopped sharing about His grace. And that was the same situation for my family, for the people that they're called Christians in my hometown. And I'm sure it's happening everywhere. And I want to pause there and ask, are we still diligently sharing about the grace of God? I'm not preaching, but I want to bring out that we were all called to be a missionaries. We all have a mission. The Great Commission is go to the end of the world or to the world and share to the nations and make disciples. We all have our own world. We're surrounded by co-workers, family, neighbors, people that they don't have this grace. They don't have a hope, especially with this pandemic has become more real, life and death. For those that they have been, you have been sick, I think it's more real, and you appreciate more life, and you appreciate more the health. But also it's real that people are going, and they're dying without hope, and we need to do something about it. And we moved together as a family in this town. We're going to share about my story. It wasn't until I was 18 years old when I understood that our salvation is based on grace and know what we can do. There is nothing we can do to deserve or earn that great gift of God, of His grace. But when I came to the U.S., the grace, it was real, because I was able to see family, neighbors, people, churches, real. That you have put your faith in Jesus, and you have created this nation based on biblical values. And that's the result that the great grace of God can do for us. My wife is gonna, there's no pictures for me to show you when I was little as I grew up, because I didn't have any. I think there is one, but I'm not proud to share. Yeah.
So does that mean I am proud to share? Because look. No, we do have one picture of him when he was little. That's it. But I grew up, for those of you who don't know me, many of you do, but I grew up in a Christian family, originally from Southern California. I'm the youngest of four children. I gave my life to Christ at a young age, and I was first called to missions during college in the summer of 2002, while I was serving with a missions mobilization ministry in Tijuana, Mexico. And I actually, in high school, took a trip to that same missions organization just for a week, and was it was with Grace Bible Church. And so they introduced me to that organization. And then in college, I ended up spending the summer there. And during that summer, we were challenged by the leadership there that to pray that God would change our desires to match His desires. And so I started praying that whole summer. And I really wasn't at all interested in long-term missions. I mean, I liked the idea of short-term missions, but I liked there being an end to it as well. And I was really not interested at that time in, like, living in another country. And by the end of that summer, I just was really, God did change the desires in my heart, and I became really passionate about God calling me to a lifetime of missions. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." And so He did that. He changed the desires, and He gave me the desires of my heart. In Philippians 2:13, it says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him." And that was so real in my life. God used a missions mobilization ministry to shape my future. And so Elias and I, and as a family at Great Grace Ministries, we look forward to being a part of that with other young people, families, adults as well. At that point, I was living and attending school in Idaho here, and I had missions on my mind after that trip. So I began to prepare myself. I researched missions organizations to see what kind of professional skills they were looking for. And I completed degrees in Spanish and international relations. And then I went on and finished my master's in public and nonprofit administration. And so during my final year of schooling of my master's, I went to a local Spanish Bible study, invited by members of this church. I'm forever grateful. And that's where I met Elias.
That's right. What an unforgettable day. Yeah, that's right. A member of this church brought Katie that night, and it was Friday night. And immediately I said to my family and friends, I met my wife. She didn't even know that. But we got married in 2007. Also, this member of this church who brought Katie came and joined us in our wedding in Mexico, December 1st, 2007. And we lived there for 2 years, but time to pay student loans that I earned when I married Katie was time to pay them. And so we decided to move here in 2009. But for the next 7 years, our desire to serve as a family kept growing and growing. And we looked into different places, organizations, and we couldn't find the perfect fitting for us to serve. And the desire in my heart to bring this model of grace that I had experienced here in the U.S., it kept growing, because people out there, they haven't seen anything different. They heard that about Jesus, they know that they can be saved, but they haven't learned how to live and how to make the light shine. And so the desire in my heart kept growing and growing until it was 2016 that I began to pray, and I specifically prayed if it was God's will that He would put an Katie's heart the same desire to go back to my hometown and serve together. And it was the end of 2016 when finally she asked me, have you ever thought about going back and serve in your hometown? And I was speechless because the answer of my prayers were right then. She said exactly that. So after that, we decided to move back to Agua Blanca in December 2012. But I'm sorry, 2017, December 12, 2017. And do you guys see any comment on those cars in common? Did you find something in common? That's right. They all have wheels. In the huge of Saint, as we were driving from the airport in December 12th, we found this, and that was our challenge that was ahead of us. Catholicism is a great religion in Mexico. I'm going to share with you some numbers. I couldn't find any current numbers. They have a census every 10 years, and I guess for 2020, they stopped for COVID, or I don't know. But I don't think that the numbers had changed, because especially the U.S. had decreased the number of missionaries that they were sending before. And Catholicism is the biggest religion in Mexico. Christians are a small percentage. And between that percentage of Christians, most of them, they haven't understand the great grace of God. And they stopped sharing the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. So as we were driving, we were seeing all this pilgrimage. Do you want to move it? The next one. And works for salvation. That's what it is about the Catholic Church. That whatever you can do, you can go walking, biking, driving to see a specific or different saints or virgins. And that's work that you can do for your salvation. And that brings them closer to the religion, but it brings them farther apart from Jesus and from God. Next. That's a short video that you can see. A lot of them have a saint carrying in their bags. And they went to Mexico City, the biggest chapel that is there.
So, Great Grace Ministries is dedicated to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ's great grace. That's our whole focus, and everything that we do revolves around sharing the gospel. Our mission is reaching out to connect people to the gospel through service and discipleship. We are a nonprofit Christian missions organization. We were founded in August of 2018 after we moved. Our board of directors has 5 members, and we're the founding missionary family. We are planning for future growth. We are looking to add additional, more short-term missions, but also long-term missionaries. Our ministry method mobilizes Christians both in Mexico and here in the United States to serve and evangelize so that we can disciple new believers and encourage ongoing spiritual growth in their lives. Like Elias mentioned, we realize that the few first believers in our area of Mexico hadn't really understood the great grace of God and its power to change their lives personally. So they accepted the message. They call themselves Christians, but you just weren't seeing that life change. And most importantly, they weren't sharing the good news with others. And so that first generation of believers, his parents, are now aging without having spread the gospel in our area. So we have four main focus areas of ministry. The cross-cultural mobilization, getting others interested in missions, and not just in Mexico, but around the world. Evangelism, like I said, our focus is sharing the gospel. We do that through a variety of methods, but that's our focus. And then personal discipleship, so that they can grow. We meet one-on-one with families and people, and then group-focused spiritual development, so like camps and conferences where we can have group learning and growth. So that's about our ministry for those of you who aren't up with what we're doing. Now we just want to kind of give you a picture review of how we've been serving before COVID began and then after COVID began, because it looks different, as you can all imagine. So the camps and conferences, we're really excited about the possibilities of what we can do in the future with camps and conferences. We have on our property area we have a couple like ponds and green, you know, grass areas, as you can see, to hold camps. We have a kitchen and dining area. So we do need some more infrastructure built there as far as dorms and bathrooms, but there's just a ton of possibility there for holding camps and conferences on the property. In March of 2020, right as COVID was, you know, becoming known, we had a spiritual growth conference. We had two guest speakers from Idaho, two pastors from the valley here, and that was really good. It was for Christians, for believers, people who call themselves Christians, but we wanted to make sure that we all had a good foundation to build from with them, and that we're all on the same page, because that's unfortunately not always the case. And so that was a really great conference. And then mission trips. So before and since COVID became a part of our world, we've had various groups come down. This was a couple who came and helped with our classes. You can see he's a bit taller than your average Mexican citizen there. Didn't fit through some of the doorways. And we've had singles come. You guys know this person, Pete. He came down and spent some time with us around Thanksgiving, and he was such a help. He speaks Spanish, and so that was just neat. He was our first visitor, actually, that does speak Spanish. Nobody else had that far. And so he came and helped with classes. Anywhere we put him, he was just a huge help to us.
Well, the language isn't a problem. We all have our personal testimony that we can help writing it down or translating it. And your personal testimony is more powerful than anything else. If you share what God has done in your life, that's enough with others. And you can do it on your regular daily basis, in a regular days, you know. If you don't have to translate it to different language, I think it will be easier for you guys. That good looking guy there. Oh. Before COVID, we used to teach English. We use what God gave us. That's my wife and her language as a primary language, because it's universal. To teach English with the purpose of sharing the gospel. We talked to the parents, we talked into the schools for permission to teach after school hours to teach their children. But before classes, we always bring a sandwich or a meal and drink. So, because by personal experience, I know how difficult it is to learn when your stomach is scrambling because you're hungry. So we give a meal to the kids, and we teach English and moral values based on the Bible. And that includes the gospel. We bring meals. We celebrate U.S. culture, especially Thanksgiving. And the kids love that. I think their favorite word besides Jesus is turkey. And we bring the whole thing, the whole package. It's work, but it's a huge blessing to see those children having a feast. They love to do crafts, so it's amazing to see that the children working together or by themselves, putting something together in the way that we worship God.
And I just wanted to say thank you to, I know a bunch of you sent craft supplies down to us, and those have come in so handy. We have used pretty much all of them at this point, so we're ready for the next set of craft supplies. But just want to say thank you so much, because that totally blessed the children. They don't have construction paper. They don't have, you know, scissors, glue, all of that. And so they, you know, like every piece of paper, if they have a scrap, they're like giving it back to me to save for the next project. And they're just, they love it. And the thing that has surprised me the most is that the boys love it so much, because I don't know, maybe I have the wrong idea, but I always think of the little girls loving the crafts. And no, oh my goodness, these little boys, they just love to do crafts.
That's boys. We love everything. We use every opportunity we have to bring along Jesus. We have three different cakes. They each represent one of the communities where we work currently. And that's that time is about, it's Christmas, and we share and we talk about what Jesus did for us. And the kids love that, besides that cake.
So we have had families come down and serve with us as well. We play games, more crafts. When if you come down to for a mission trip, like Aaliyah said, you don't have to speak Spanish, because we're also, you know, teaching English. And so the kids love to practice with people that come down. And as he mentioned, it's a great opportunity for us to translate your personal testimony and share it with them. And that has really been a huge impact for people there. And
that's me. All right. We use books. We read stories to the children, and that specific book, it has Spanish and English. So we read both, and as they hear the story about God, and they learn words in English. And during COVID, the schools were closed, so we had to find a different way to serve and be in touch with those children. And because we had built relationships with them and their families, we were able, and we know the need that they have. Besides the spiritual need, they have a great need for food and clothing. But we used the opportunity to witness and bring food to them. We make food packages, in which a lot of people like you guys bless them through giving money, and we were able to put together those food packages. And a quick testimony is, like, for our family, when we were putting them together, Nathan asked us, "Oh, how can we afford this if we don't have money?" And we tell them, "Well, people are putting money together." So he went and grabbed his piggy bank, and he said, "Well, I want to be part of it. Here's my money." And that was neat for us. And how in them, their heart is in the mission in the same way that you guys are. If you guys can see, we're bringing food to people, and if you guys see the house, can you guys see the house? Right, that's right. I don't see it either. It's behind the hill. We need to hike a lot. So it's something that I personally enjoy. Some of my family don't enjoy as much, but they are forced to do it. And the price of that work is to find thankfulness and a smile, like from the picture that is Yasuri. She is a sibling of 7 in her family, and they were blessed a few times by those care packages. But later, we decided to put together garden package so they can grow seeds packages, and is what we did. We bought a bunch of different seeds that they can produce their own vegetables, but during the process we are able to be in touch with them and see how they're doing with their gardening, but also to bring along our conversation God in the gospel. It's difficult to approach a Catholic person and tell them that they're wrong. So the whole relationship is a process that little by little we have seen results. And the doors of their house are open for us and for you guys. And it's a blessing for us and for them to be together, to gather together and have a coffee, a meal, or just a glass of water. There's some of the gardens we saw.
So this May through June, we had a short-term missionary. She is from Texas. Come out and spend time with us. We are still able to teach English in one of our communities. One of the older ladies in that community is loaning us a room that she already had built and was empty. And so we've been able to use that, or if the weather permits, we can meet outside. But in our other two communities, we don't have a location. The schools are closed still and won't be opening this year either. And so in those two communities, we haven't been able to do our weekly English classes, but we've been doing other activities with them, as you'll see shortly. That's something that you guys could also be praying about, is just that we were really hopeful that schools would get back in session this year. And just before we left, we found out that, again, they're not going back in our area. In some places in Mexico, it sounds like they are, but in our area, they're not. And so they have online school. Well, none of these families have internet. They're lucky if they have, like, electricity for, like, a light bulb. And so it's just, they're not getting schooling. And it's really sad. And, we really stress to people, you know, read your Bible for yourself. This is a personal relationship with God. It's not just about going to church and listening to a priest. It's about, you know, your personal relationship with Him. And it's just on my heart that, man, you can't read your Bible if you don't know how to read. And there is a whole generation of kids that are now, you know, into their second year of missing school. And so that's just, it's hard. And so that's something that we also want to address in our communities and see how we can help with that. So Kate was our missionary who came, and she also was able to minister to these young gals that were around her age. So that was neat. They come to our house once a week for English classes, tutoring, and so she was able to talk with them, and we share the gospel with them as well. We've watched movies with them. You can see we have a little fire pit at our house, so we were roasting hot dogs and marshmallows and just doing life together. And that's something that also I realized, like, you know, we're missionaries in Mexico, but we're just using life to minister to other people. It's, you know, every opportunity that we have, we just use that to share the gospel. And so I was kind of teaching myself in a way, like, you know, if you're here and you're at work or wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you know, use that as an opportunity to share the gospel. So here's one of those events in, this is in our Rosa community, where we did activities with them and crafts, more crafts, and we showed a Christian-based movie, and of course Elias shared the gospel with them at that event too, and that's been really great because we just see, you know, people, I'm sure you saw it here too, but it's still like alive and well there, where people are shut up in their houses. Kids don't get to go to school or get a break from any environment that isn't maybe a healthy home environment, which there's a lot of that. We have a lot of alcoholism in our area. And so we've just seen a change in our children in the communities. And it's just kind of heartbreaking because you see the negative effects of what's happening to them. And so these events have been just so beneficial for them to be able to get out, even just to socialize, but also to hear truth. So how can you be a part of Great Grace Ministries? That's kind of our thing that we, you know, it's like we're not Great Grace Ministries. We want, you know, there to be a group of people that is Great Grace Ministries, and that includes people who are praying. I know you guys are really faithful. I love that I get emails from Lori saying, who I haven't gotten to meet in person yet, but I love her, saying, you know, what can we be praying for you about? So you can pray. If you're not on our email list, just email that greatgraceministries@outlook.com and say, you know, sign me up for your email list. In the back, there's a sign-up sheet also where you can put your email, or in the foyer. You can put your email. You can put your physical address. We do once or twice a year, we do a physical mailing. It just went out, so probably a bunch of you are going to get that here soon. But you can sign up for that as well. Those are different than what goes out in the emails. And you can go. You can take a trip to serve with us. Mexico's open. There isn't a quarantine requirement there. Right now, the U.S. has its requirement that before you fly back, you get a COVID test, but we have a way to do that there. So that's not a problem. Like you said, we just had somebody there with us, May and June. And then connect with us. You can join us every first Thursday, except when we're traveling, of the month for face-to-face. We do a Zoom video chat, and just it's really nice every time we do it. We have new people, different people, and we chat, give you updates, and we pray together for a bit. And it's a huge blessing to us, and we like to pray for whoever's on the call, too, so we hope that we are a blessing as well. And then give. Our ministry is 100% sustained by financial gifts from partners like all of you guys, and we're just so thankful for so many of you who give already, and as a church, we're so blessed by you guys. We have tried to just show our need here through, we have regular, known, committed giving. It's kind of hard when you, I never realized before we were missionaries or receiving any kind of donations or anything like that, how it can be difficult for missionaries because you get blessed in so many different ways. And so then when it's like you try to put a pie chart together to show, you know, what's our giving look like? We have about 51% of regular, committed, either monthly, weekly, or annually, or whatever, but we know they're giving. And then we have a big group, 36%, in the last 12 months that were, you know, one-time gifts or sporadic, or, you know, we hope that they'll be able to give again, but we don't know. And then we have 13% that's just not met yet at all. But I say unmet, but we've never, you know, gone hungry. And so we're blessed in that way. But there is still need there. And we're just, you know, we kind of wondered, like, with COVID, is giving going to go down or what's going to happen? And honestly, our giving, like, for one-time gifts went way up. And people were just, you know, gave sacrificially from stimulus checks and things like that. And so we're very blessed for that. But we as a ministry want to create, you know, sustained giving, regular giving. So we appreciate you guys that you're doing that. We just want to be open with where we're at, what we're doing. But we're thankful that you are already there blessing us.
Well, we want to thank you again, and thank you, Grace Bible Church, for partnering with us, and thank you for all your prayers, support, and for this time. We are so happy to be here with you this morning, worshiping together, and in the same way that you guys pray for us, we all pray for churches and people like you guys, that you're always in our hearts and our prayers.
So out there, the materials that are out there, let me just explain really quick. this sheet is a bio about our family. Can you open it up for me? There we go. There's nothing in this left-hand corner. That's how you'll know it's the bio about our family and our ministry, just in general. This one is also out there, and in this corner it says summer 2021. So that's the letter. If you're on our mailing list, you'll already get that in your mail shortly this week. It was mailed on Friday. So there's that. So if you're not on that, you might want to pick one of those up. And then there's a postcard, if you want our lovely picture on your refrigerator. And this is for giving. There's one of these that has like a tear off, that you could tear off and mail in or whatever. Just kind of helpful for if you need giving information. So that's what's available out there. There's our email or website, greatgraceministries.org. And if you are on Facebook, you can look for us. We also have a private group on there where we share updates.
Do you have any questions?
Yeah. If you have any questions, we will be around. But that's it for us. I don't know who's next.
Hey, Farrell, can I have you come up? So I'm really glad that Katie and Elias and their family had a chance to join us this morning and share with us a bit about their ministry. And you guys can come over here if you want. I don't know how many of you do or don't know, but this past year, the session decided to regularly give to their ministry. And it was really neat. I know Farrell could really testify to this as well, as we've kind of watched their ministry grow over the last couple years. And they were not reaching out to us to say, help us give, help us give. We gave some special needs from here or there. But in sitting in the session meeting, it finally came around that we were kind of looking at their ministry and talking about Peter being down there. And I know the Heater family, you know, has been down there. And what we sort of came out with is there's two really neat things that we love about their ministry. And one is financial, in that it's not going to a big organization and then gets kind of funneled down. And there's nothing wrong with organizations that do that. That's a great model, and that's how a lot of missionary organizations run. But when we give, it pretty much goes right to their ministry, right where they're at and how they're serving. So one, we really liked that whatever we give goes right into their local ministry there. And the second thing that really stands out to us, and you can see in some of those pictures, but to really understand how far do you guys really go to deliver food? I mean, how many miles do you guys have to go to deliver food sometimes?
3-4 miles, but besides an hour, 4 times driving.
So they have to drive on these roads an hour, hour and a half, hour, 45 minutes, and then they get out and they carry food 3 or 4 miles up into these really remote little places. And so they are, the sacrifice that they make are real. And the thing that's so neat about it is they're feeding people, serving people with basic needs, and sharing the gospel with them. So they're meeting two needs, and that they're just living life alongside their neighbors and just helping any way that they can. And it's not really super structured that we have to do this and this and this. It's kind of like, what does the Lord bring forward? They have a school. The school says they can meet. And so they said, let's go teach English. And God has kind of gone before that. And we saw that through the chant. So we're really fortunate to be able to support them. And it's good to have them here. You mentioned one of the prayer requests. What other things can we be praying for you guys specifically before you go?
For a location. It would be nice to have our own location in that community, so we don't have to depend on the schools, and we can expand to teach. Like, we want to encourage the kids to read more, so we can help them to read more. We can teach them a little bit about computers, how to use a computer. That's other plans that we have to keep teaching and serving. But that will be, and also for men, for leaders to become saved. Women are the ones that they always involve with school children, the ones that we find their homes. But we need men to make this sustainable. I think in leadership, we need men. And a quick story, like, Adela, she was saved a couple of years ago, and then last year, and she was sharing with us how her husband has been changing since she has been praying for him. And he had a problem about alcoholism, and for us, that means so much, because besides that, her whole family is changing. And they have seen something different. So stories like that we have with you to share, but there's not enough paper or time. Yeah, so those things.
Usually Elias mentions, but I'll mention because he forgot. I struggle probably more than any of our family just with, relationships. I'm kind of missing out on friendships and things like that. So I always appreciate prayer just for me, for my health. I've been the most affected health-wise there with parasites and things like that. And so just for me to be strong.
Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you so much, one, for what your son did for us. Lord, we are not saved. As Elias so clearly said, we are not saved by our goodness. We are not saved by our works. Lord, the Bible is really clear. There is nothing worthy in us that deserves your love and your forgiveness. And Lord, it is only truly because of your great grace that we are saved. And it is because of your great grace that we have hope for the future. And so, Lord, it's always so encouraging for us to see the gospel going out into all the different corners of the world as your kingdom spreads. And it spreads through faithful families and through sacrifice and for giving up comfort and security and the things that are known to go out and to lay it on the line for your kingdom, Lord. And so this morning, as we've heard from Kate and Elias, thank you. Thank you for their ministry. Lord, I would pray for their marriage. I pray that you strengthen it, that you protect it, that they find ways to be able to love and spend time and remain close through ministry and the difficulties that come along with that. Lord, I pray for their kids that you would keep them healthy and safe, that you would draw their family together in ministry. Lord, I pray for Katie as she, it has got to be lonely to be uprooted and placed in a different place. So I pray for friendships and meaningful relationships down there. I pray for Elias as he continues to walk and bring food and reach out and preach and teach and discipleship, Lord, that you'll give him wisdom in that. Lord, I know they've struggled to really find a good, solid church that they could participate in worship. So I pray that you would establish that there and that they could be part of that. Lord, and then as they prepare to go home and travel and they're driving, Lord, that you would get them home safely. Lord, they're such a blessing to us, and we're so grateful for them. And we would just ask that you would go before them as they continue to take the gospel into the corner of Mexico that you've placed them, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.